Welcome to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast, bringing you into a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for listening with us today. We would invite you to subscribe so you can keep up to date with us. But for now, we pray you enjoy listening to what God has in store for you in this episode, and that it helps change your life for the better. In Jesus' name, enjoy.
Hello, everybody. Good morning.
Morning.
Hello. So what's the date today? 22nd of December.
22nd. Yeah, so what? There. How many sleeps till Christmas?
Three sleeps.
Yeah, so, yeah, it is three sleeps indeed, till Christmas.
Goes. Let us introduce ourselves as well before we get to that. So I'm Robin. Hello.
Hi there. I'm Phil.
Yes.
Nice to see you.
Lovely to see you. So guys, coming up today, what have we got coming up today, Phil? It's the fourth part of our series, In This Down to Earth. And today, sort of a guest speaker, isn't there? A little bit later, yeah, something called the Unchanging Christmas.
Yeah, I think it's about all those. What impact does Christmas have on you, isn't it?
Indeed.
It's about that. It's about what does change because of Christmas.
Indeed.
And the values that carry on beyond December and beyond the turkey leftovers.
Absolutely. I can't imagine. I've never had a Christmas in my life where Jesus hasn't been mentioned. I was sort of brought up in a Christian family, etc. But then you come to know faith yourself, and you can't imagine what it's like without that. I can imagine it's still an amazing party. People have an absolutely brilliant time.
Yeah.
But if I was doing these lists, I guess when I'm doing, it's like to go back previously, when I'm doing the lists and I'm doing all of the prep, etc., I think if it wasn't for Jesus, I could feel quite, perhaps a bit cynical and a bit sort of, resentful about it all. Yeah. A bit like, what's the point? Do you know
what I mean?
I think
that's where you'd end up, isn't it?
But I think that Jesus helps us frame that in a sense that we're giving of our time, of our energy and of our love and, desperately trying to find the scissors and the wrapping paper and the sellotape that's gone missing down the back of the sofa, all of that. But if you frame it in the context of Jesus as a gift to the world, then that preparation is just so much easier, isn't it? And it's about loving other people and sharing that time together.
Yeah, yeah. There's a point to it all, isn't there?
There is.
And it's not me. It's something beyond me.
It is about
which makes
else.
A world of difference, doesn't
indeed.
It?
Indeed, completely. And absolutely. Yeah. It's wonderful. It's lovely. So, yes, and we'll touch more on that, through the sermon, etc. as well, just back to that Christmas message and the fact that the impact it has and the way that it should change us, etc. But it's I wouldn't want Christmas without Jesus and God in that, really. So so last week, guys, we did reflect on we reflected on it on a sermon called The Unlikely Invitation. I think that was with Neil and Leslie. So I hope you enjoyed that one. So it's the fourth part of our series today. But we are let's just have a reminder about what the current series is with the Down to Earth video, so the sort of promo video about the series that we're currently on.
Join us this Christmas as we reflect on our Down to Earth Saviour. The Jesus who stepped into the mess and detail of life on earth and calls us to do the same.
From the book of Luke. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who had heard it were amazed that the shepherds had said to them. Mary had treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned and glorified, praising the Lord for all the things they have heard and seen, which was just what they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given them before he was conceived.
Down to Earth, a series that comes from an organization called LICC, London of Contemporary Christianity. And their key thing is that our Christian faith shouldn't just be confined to what we do in our worship services, but actually worship is about what we do in our lives 24/7. And they've produced this series called Down to Earth. And we're continuing this. I'm going to be preaching also on Christmas Day. You're very, very welcome to come Christmas Day, 10 o'clock. It is going to be a fun time together. We will be doing the 12 Days of Christmas as we do every year. So do come along to that. But me, I have children who are primary school age. Well, actually, my eldest is now at high school. But I have spent the last however many years, every Christmas, going to their school nativity plays and watching them dressed as, I don't know, shepherds or Christmas puddings or anything like that that they can fit into a Christmas play. Actually, this year was the first time that we didn't have a nativity. We actually had, it was quite good actually, because I kind of know what the story is. So it was exciting because the suspense, Rudolph got a cold and we didn't know whether they're going to deliver the presents to the children. So it was a very exciting time for me. But all the rest of the Christmases, we've had that nativity story with the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in the manger. It's the image that is so familiar to us, that nativity scene. And often at the end of these nativity plays at primary school, you've got all the actors and actresses up there in static, stationary, in the stable, setting that scene that we see on our postcards. If you were there for our Jingle and Joy Christmas Fest, we had a whole room just in there where loads of you guys brought in your nativity sets, and we had them laid out with some at the front the kids could play, but the expensive ones at the back where they couldn't quite reach. Don't want to touch those ones. So thank you to those you if you brought your nativity set. Actually, I realised that I don't have a nativity set. But you had a few have a nativity set up in your lounge or somewhere. Yes, quite a few of you. If you go, I notice in Crawley, they have in the town square a nativity set in a glass box so no one can touch it, bolted to the floor so no one can run away with it. Because that's often what these nativity sets kind of demonstrate. It's a staticness. It's unchanging. It never moves. It never changes. Always in the same position. The shepherds, the wise men, the same story. And that's where they remain. We pack away that nativity set at the end of Christmas and we bring it out the next year. The same set, the same position. Static, unchanging, the same story. But we're going to kind of look at that a little bit differently this morning. We've already had our reading about the shepherds, and if you want to you can get your a Bible, and we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2 verses 15 to 21, which Jack read to us on the screen. Now last week we had our all-age service, so we didn't have the third part of our series sermon here on a Sunday morning. If you missed it, it is online, so you can go and watch it on YouTube or listen on a podcast. But last week we were looking at the shepherds, who the angels come to these shepherds who are minding their own business, looking after the sheep on the hills, and angels come along and they announce the birth of the long-awaited Messiah, God's own son, who's been born in a town called Bethlehem. And the angel encourages these shepherds to go and visit this newly born. And it's interesting, if we look at our passage from Luke chapter 2. Oh, I have got a little stone. Here we go. What's next? I haven't got. I might need you to press the button. There you go, press again. There we go, there's our nativity scene. Let's keep going. There we go. Now this, out of that whole verse, is the only bit that refers to that nativity scene that we see so often. That nativity set. It says in verse 16, they found, that's a shepherd, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. But the rest of the passage refers to the shepherds going there and the shepherds leaving there. And really what I want us to look at is three things that come out of this passage. I'm just going to tell you now, the sermon's going to be quite short. You should be pleased to know. Okay, but we've got communion to make up the time. But number one, what the shepherds do, they go and investigate. They're being told by the angel this amazing thing that has happened, and they could go, well, that was nice, and just carry on looking after their sheep. But they're so stirred up, they have to go and investigate and find out what happened. Let's go to Bethlehem, they said, and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurry off, and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And then what we see do next is number two. They go off and they celebrate. Verse 20, the shepherds returned to their everyday life, doing their everyday ordinary things, looking after their sheep. But they have been changed by that experience, by meeting what was just a baby and a young couple. And yet they return glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as the angels had told them. They go and investigate. They meet Jesus and they go away celebrating and glorifying and praising God. For Mary, who's also in our passage, it's a little bit different. We're told that Mary treasured up all these things that she was seeing and hearing and experiencing. The fact that these shepherds had come and visited them and probably told Mary about these angels that announced to them that Jesus had been born. She treasures these things up and ponders them in her heart. We get Mary contemplating, what is this all about? She's had a bit of a roller coaster ride. She's been told by angels that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. It probably would have been a bit of a shock, I would imagine. And this has significant implications for her life, raising this baby, the Son of God, God himself, into adulthoods. She ponders, she contemplates, she reflects, probably for the rest of her life. See, what we see in this passage and what we see when we read the Christmas story is not a static scene where nothing moves and nothing changes. It's full of change and movement. Go investigating, celebrating, contemplating. It's an event that changes the life of all involved. It's an event that changes the life of Mary. And we're going to watch a video now that talks a little bit about that. Let's watch this video.
This statue of Mary in the grounds around Salisbury Cathedral is by the artist Dame Elizabeth Frink and is known as the Walking Madonna. Frink's opinion was that so many of the paintings and sculptures of Mary that we have her sitting or standing still or holding the baby Jesus motionless. There's nothing wrong with those depictions, but the artist's point here is that Mary is a working woman, an active mum. So Frink has Mary standing and striving, working and walking. And this helps us, I think, to picture Mary differently. Now, when this artwork was first placed in the grounds of Salisbury Cathedral, there was an important decision to make. Which way should Mary face? Should they have Mary walking into the cathedral to worship, or should they have her walking out to continue her life of worship? And I'm so glad they chose to position Mary as they have, walking out into the city with the good news that she's received. Also, as you can see, she's not on a plinth. She is literally down to earth in the sense of being on our level. As a result, people engage and respond to her in different ways. You can see how worn down her hand has got from people holding it. People are responding to somebody who has been touched by Jesus and then takes that message out into their everyday lives. The challenge is for each of us to do the same, to respond in our everyday lives as people who have met Jesus and reflect him in all we do.
Love that. challenge for each of us to do the same, to respond in our everyday as people who have met Jesus and carry him in all we do, like the shepherds, like Mary. In the Christmas story, the shepherds move on from the nativity scene. They go back to their lives. Mary moves on. We see later in our passage, the story continues. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus. They move on with their lives. They shift away from that nativity scene. They move on to the next stage of Jesus' down-to-earth story, their story. And as beautiful and Christmassy as a nativity scene may be, life moves on. See, this Advent, this countdown to Christmas, it isn't just about a calendar full of chocolates or a reminder of how many shopping days we have left before Christmas Day. Actually, it's about giving us time to investigate, to ask ourselves, what is this all about? And perhaps you're here this morning, perhaps you've come along to our Christmas services to scratch that spiritual itch that you managed to ignore pretty much the rest of the year. But for some reason, Christmas just awakens that itch again. See, we like to provide different ways in which you can investigate Jesus. We're at the moment going through an Alpha course, and some of you are attending that, where you learn about Jesus and Christianity and the church and faith and what it's all about. Also, in Lent, if I put the next slide, in March and April, we are going to be having a sermon series called Investigating Jesus. Let's find out about who Jesus said he was, what the Bible says about him, and what difference that might make to our lives. Steve, do you want to go back to the original slide before? Thank you. Perhaps for you, you're at the stage where you love the celebration. You love the singing of carols. I don't know if I've got an Alexa at home where it's got a screen, and every now and then it comes up with polls and it asks you questions. You can press which one you want. And it asked the other day, do you like singing carols? And I clicked yes, because I'm a good pastor. And it came up, this is what everyone else who has an Alexa and has answered this poll said, over 60% of people also love singing carols. People love the celebration, the Christmas, the singing, the carols. And maybe for you, you just love the fact that it's a party. But does that party and that celebration point to the fact that God came down to earth to live among us? Do you sing those carols? And it's just not just about the tune, but actually it's the words of those carols that talk about what God has done for us. That is worth the party. That is what the celebration is about. Or maybe you're at the contemplation side stage. And you're thinking, what does this really mean? How does it affect about how I view and understand myself and how I see my life and how I live it out? And maybe it's how I understand my part to play in this Christmas story that is not static, but actually is still continuing God's rescue plan, which we are a part of. The nativity scene isn't static, it's moving. But there are some unchanging truths of Christmas that we can investigate, we can celebrate, and we can contemplate. The fact that God kept and keeps his promises. He just does things in ways that we don't expect or understand. Actually, through Jesus, he put a rescue plan into place. He has rescued us and he has saved us. And he's done it in an unusual way. He's been the unusual king that stepped down into darkness. God, who gave up all his power and emptied himself and made himself nothing as a baby boy, born into the humblest of circumstances. A down-to-earth king who understands our situations, who shows humility and asks us to do the same. So let us not be stuck in the nativity, to be repeated every year where we unpack it for Christmas. But let's move on with our lives and take that Christmas message, that promise, that rescue plan into our everyday lives. We've got some questions. Let's give you an opportunity before we lead into communion just to reflect on maybe what God has been saying to you.
Some questions. Are you investigating Christmas and Jesus this year? What conclusions have you come to? Do your festive celebrations point you to Jesus? Or is he a bit lost in the busyness of it all? How do the unchanging truths of Christmas permeate into your life?
Really interesting thoughts there from Martin. I really enjoyed that video as well. Just about Mary going outwards and she's been changed. What a cool statue, eh? That's awesome, isn't it? I've never seen it myself. I've never been to Salisbury Cathedral, but yeah.
I'd
like to.
And the fact that she's walking out into the world rather than walking into.
Indeed.
It's quite powerful, isn't it?
Indeed. So the unchanging, so the idea that Christmas shouldn't remain static, that it is this kind of movable force within our life, isn't it, that sort of helps us recenter, a bit like other times that we focus on, you know, like Easter or but Christmas particularly, I think, as a way you kind of can go through the motions, can't you, again? You've got the songs on the radio, you've got the presents to buy, like we said at the beginning. But we're doing it for a purpose, aren't we, Phil? So
yeah. Because, you know, some people, I remember reading about a guy, I think it was in Tunbridge Wells. I could be dissing everybody in Tunbridge Wells. Forgive me, Tunbridge Wells.
We love Tunbridge Wells.
We love you, Tunbridge Wells. But there was, I think I read once about a bloke in Tunbridge Wells who never takes his Christmas stuff down.
Yeah.
It's like he's stuck
in
that nativity all year.
Yeah.
Which I sort of get because I hate taking the decorations down.
Is that because he knows it's coming again in another 364 days?
Yeah, so he just leaves and his lights outside the house and everything inside the house stays. So he's sort of stuck in Christmas.
He's ready for it.
But I can imagine some people just get stuck, a bit like Martin said, stuck in the stable.
Yeah.
And yet that's just the start.
Indeed. And I love Christmas Day, but I'm not sure I'd want Christmas Day itself like every single day.
No.
It's best like once a year, isn't it? Without going under, my son at the moment is watching a Mickey Mouse cartoon where Mickey makes a Christmas wish and he wishes it was Christmas every day, but he gets the same Christmas every single day with Goofy. So the same Christmas Day, the same things happen. It's a bit like Groundhog Day. So the same things happen again and again and again. So in a sense, that is like a very static Christmas, isn't it? Yeah. And he gets really fed up with it, actually. And he's wishing the end is that he wants it to be once a year and he wants it to be different every year and it all comes back. But
I think even the disciples got stuck, didn't they, sometimes? Do you remember when Peter went up with Jesus up the mount and there was this transfiguration? They suddenly saw Jesus as he actually is.
Absolutely.
And what did dear old Peter say? Peter said, oh, this is great. Let's build a house. Let's build a hut or a shed.
Yeah.
Probably a man shed because we like those.
Yeah, we do.
Let's build a man shed. Let's just stay here and just look at that.
Yeah.
And he sort of got stuck in that moment. Jesus sort of thinking, no, nope, we're going back down. We're getting on with the job. And I think we can do that. I think we can do that with church. I think we can, you know, it's just about,
yeah,
you know, looking for worship experiences or that sort of thing.
And I think there are absolutely times in our lives as well that God does, you know, I think that God doesn't want us to stay.
Yeah.
God can bring that stillness to us. I don't think it's always about, like, what's the next thing? What can I do? And, like, yes, we are called to be outward, but we are at times called to be still and reflective. And God knows where we're at too. So I think it's working out where you're at with it all. But I think the danger is that after, like, sort of a long time in church or, you know, whatever it is, that you just go through the motions again with it. And I think that it should be more than that, isn't it? There's more to it than that. And if you feel like, you know, why are we doing all of this? Then actually, you know, 2025, like, you know,
yeah,
that's a good place to kind of, you know, that New Year's coming, isn't it?
Yeah.
Think about ways that you can bless your community, things maybe that you can do.
Yeah.
Or just rekindle your love of church. Or...
Yeah. But you're right. I think you're right. There's two, because the contemplation bit you were talking about when Martin was, we were chatting while Martin was preaching. Sorry, Martin. but we were talking about that, getting space to contemplate, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. Which,
a bit like Mary.
Yeah.
She stored up these things out. And that's important.
It is.
But also important is the moving on bit.
It is.
Because the contemplation should lead to something. So it's not, I find in life, it's a top tip, folks, and it took me 57 years to work this out, but it's not either or, it's both and.
It is.
And you need both in your life, because you get stuck one extreme or the other, it doesn't work, but it's both. And we need both. How do you carve out time? Because at the moment, at the contemplation bit, how do you carve out time to say, actually, I'm not going to lose Jesus, like Martin's question? I'm not going to lose Jesus in the busyness, and it is busy, isn't it?
No, it is, absolutely. I think sometimes, I know this sounds really, you know, I'm not blowing my own trumpet in any sense, but I do think sometimes serving in a church can help me sort of stop as well. So I'm doing it, yes, because I want to bless the church. So putting this stream together, etc. I did that this week, took me a couple of hours one evening. I did completely forget about it. Then I got a reminder and then I did it really quickly. But actually that sort of stopping, and it's like when I used to do the kids' work as well, you know, that sort of stop in there, it is that pause, isn't it? So although I'm doing something, it sort of almost forces me to reflect as well. And quite often at the end of that, I just have an extra 20 minutes just with God, or I feel like God's blessing me in those times.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think if I have little commitments that I have to stick to, it forces me to stop.
I think so.
And makes me think about.
Yeah.
So stuff in church that I commit to helps me. Because it forces me, I know I've got to put that in the diary, otherwise it will slide. Yeah,
otherwise it won't happen. But I do quite like that traditional thing. You know, I'm not very good at doing, I used to be much better when I was younger at doing things like reading, like the daily, you know, the Daily Bread. My mom had all of these books around the house. I used to just read, you know, every day I'd have a look. And that was, you know, that was awesome. I think as life's gotten a lot busier and more hectic and like work and all the rest of it, that has slipped by the wayside. But that is also very me too. I can do that. I just need to be more intentional about it, I think, in doing that as well. And expect God to talk to you. I think he does want to change you. And it might not be like a voice coming out of the sky, but just that sense of like, you are enough through Jesus. I love you. Like, you're incredible. Like, God has such a sense of awe about us, doesn't he? Like, it's about, you know, we put that reverence is there, we put it back onto God, but God saved the world because he loves us so much.
You
know, it works both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does.
So, yes.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah, so carve out some time for some contemplation.
Indeed.
It's important, isn't it? And church, sometimes committing to stuff makes you do that.
I find that helpful. Yeah, because you have that responsibility for it. Don't you? You are accountable to other people. They are accountable to you.
Yeah.
But actually, in those moments, I've noticed that when I stepped up to do something, that is a way of spending time with God too, because it forces me to do that.
Yeah.
So I think that that's good. Otherwise, I'd, you know, just absolutely fine. I'd just play the PlayStation or something. So, you know.
We won't ask what game.
No, you don't ask what game. Let's move on. So, cool.
That was today's episode of the Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We hope this prompted you to want to follow Jesus even just a little bit more closely. If you have any questions about what you've heard in today's episode, or you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, you can email us at gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We would love to hear from you. It would really make our day. If you want to hear more from us, just a reminder that you can subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You can access that and our YouTube channel by heading to hawleybaptist.org.uk/media. Thank you again for listening to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We pray God will bless you, and we will see you next time.